Art Cork. Luke 6. Verse 8. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth.
Are we moving on?
Pardon?
Are we moving on?
We're moving on. The whole idea here is he's standing on the Sabbath. He's in a synagogue teaching, more than likely at Capernaum. And there's a man with a withered hand. You remember all of the scribes and Pharisees are watching to see whether or not he's going to heal this guy. They're waiting. They're lying in wait for him to do something that they can.
Sabbath, right?
Huh?
Because it's a Sabbath.
Right. And so, withered is it's XEROS, which I thought it was Xerox at first, but it isn't. Rise up, and it just means he's asking him to stand up in the middle of the congregation and stand forth in the midst. Now, what stand forth is histemi, and it means, remember, this was a very important word when we studied Romans a long time ago, because it's present yourself a living sacrifice. Well, that's the same thing. It's histemi, present yourself without condition. And that's what he's doing now, this withered guy with a withered hand. Whether it's healed or not, whether he's standing forth. Amen? All right. And the midst just means amongst them. And he arose and stood forth. Then Jesus answered, and Jesus then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. And remember, it's because he knew their thoughts. He knew what they were doing. I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking around upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Now, why in the world would this fill them with madness?
I know. Because he was so out of order doing something that they had enforced vigorously that no one would do. And here he is breaking all their conditions, all their law, all their protocols.
Is he really breaking the law, though? That's what this answer is. And this is where, to do good or to do evil?
Yeah, it's a good question.
It's the verb form of agathos and of the verb form of kakos. It's agathopoia, poio, and kakopoio. And so he's slowly but surely, throughout all his ministry, he's emphasizing that the Sabbath isn't a day, the Sabbath is a person. And we'll see that increased and increased in intensity. Okay?
Yeah. Are we going to answer the question? Is that on here?
Yeah, let's do that. Go ahead. Ask the question that you want.
I think the question is he breaking the law? Was it really the law of the Sabbath at that time that you don't do anything, such as even healed?
Remember, the there are the exceptions in the law about doing nothing.
Getting an ox out of the ditch.
Huh?
Getting your ox out of the ditch.
Right.
Like that.
And so he's saying here, he's saying, is this really, do you really know what you're talking about? So what he's doing here is kind of making fun of them.
Yeah.
think they knew that too.
Right, that's why they got they were filled with madness, because it's all in the Sabbath. You know, it's we could spend the next 4 years studying the Sabbath, which I'm not going to do since we spent the last 4 years studying thoughts. Mm-hmm. But the point of it is, there's the exceptions on the Sabbath of when you can do something. You can't initiate a work. You can't light a fire. You can't cook. You can't do all those things. But you can, if you have an animal that fell into the ditch, you can pull them out. Or more than likely, if you have we'll see later, if you have a person who is dying, you can save them. And so he's saying this, to do good. Read it again. I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And so he's putting forth, he's challenging their challenging of him.
And right now he's challenging me, because all good Jews will make up the fine point of the law and then use that.
Right.
To determine what somebody else should or shouldn't do.
Right, exactly.
I can feel the
right movement. Because, and that's the same thing internally. It's yeah. if the whole point of this is internally, this man was set before him. He didn't bring him in there. And he had a withered hand. And he had the capacity to heal that hand. And we don't know any of the details. Normally, if we understood the mystery of Christ, then there would be nothing we could do that we couldn't initiate anything. That's the point of it. But if something came into our world, a man that's sick or whatever, then we would have to take care of it. But the point of it is, you don't initiate any new thing from our standpoint on ever, because he is the Sabbath. We've labored to enter into his rest. Does that communicate? All right. And the only kind of interesting thing is, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it? And it literally says to save a life or to destroy it. So that's not a big deal. And looking round about him, them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, this word for whole here is a different word than we have ever seen for healed. This is where we get the word apothecary. That's apothokath istemi. And it means to bring back the reclamation of land to the former condition of health. It's a word that has to have a predicate of, in this case, the predicate was his other hand. So it was made like his other hand. So whether or not that was healed, or, you know, he could go argue in this way. I never know why they use these different words for heal. There's about five different words.
So are we talking about the word whole?
Right.
The word whole.
Restored. No, restored is what we're talking about.
Okay.
Whole is hygieos, which means it's the same word we get hygiene from. Let's look at one verse to see this. Let's go to John 5. This is the pool of Bethesda. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus answered, saith unto him, Rise and take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked on the same day as was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, and he said, He that made me whole, the man said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which thee said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So again, this thing about the pool of Bethsaida, I can't remember which feast it was. It's only on that feast that the water, they had this belief system, and that whenever someone, the first one in the water was made whole. And so this, again, we have the word whole here. That's why we looked at this, okay? But again, it's the...
He came to where the water was turned to wine, the same feast.
When it was tabernacles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, it was tabernacles. I knew that. It was lost back here somewhere.
Well, no. And then it says after this there was a feast of the Jews, like it was after that feast. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, no, it was a specific feast that condition happened in, and I'm all sure it was tabernacles. Yeah. During one of the 7 days of it. All right, back to Luke. Now that word for whole is also used of sound speech. So let's look at that once, and then we'll go back to Luke. Go to Titus 2.
Back before.
Back to Titus. Towards Hebrews.
Makes me think of how we talked about Pharisaical council of elders in our minds.
Yeah, your Jerusalem now has a whole bunch of those guys up there.
Yeah, they're all waiting for you to do something that they can convict you of.
Right, they can make a charge against you.
All right.
Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now sober here has nothing to do with booze. Sober here is this word, it's right thinking. Ascidia. Okay? But that's not the word we're studying. In verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing an uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, sound speech is this word, hygieus, which we get the word hygiene. So what it means is that it's translated made whole, but it means that there are no exceptions to. It's really what it means when Paul said, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That sound speech would be always in conformity, that it would always be seasoned with salt, that it always had the component of eternity. So it's not just jibber-jabber.
Or salt, just salty speech.
Do what?
Like a sailor, salty speech.
No, it has nothing to do with salty speech.
Right, I'm saying it was speech with salt, not salty speech.
Thanks for that. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Luke 6, now we're in verse 11. Madness here can be folly. It's translated different ways, but it means out of their mind. Madness as an expression of rage, or madness as an expression of folly. So let's just look at there a couple. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. See if other places where this word is used. It's anoia, A-N-O-I-A.
Anoia.
Where are we going?
2 Timothy.
Did it also mean insanity?
No.
No, not like madness.
This is this famous homily of Paul's. Let's start in verse 1.
All right, 2 Timothy.
Chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, that's again, it's this word, it's the same anoia. It means their folly, they were from a standpoint of good doctrine, sound doctrine, they were out of their minds. Now, if you want to see this, just turn on Christian television.
That'll annoy you.
Amen?
Amen.
Or if you want to see this, no, we'll go there. Let's go to Second Peter.
Second
Peter chapter 3.
This part about those guys having a form of godliness, so they're on the outside
put it on.
Yeah, this is always, this has nothing to do with the world.
Yeah. The pretend Christian might even be sincere, probably is. Yet, their corrupt mind because it's their mind.
Well, it's the whole point, yeah. You've transformed the doctrine into an instrument of self-realization, of self-actualization instead of self-death, and they are therefore out of their minds. They're filled with madness from God's standpoint.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to raise your hand to speak.
When you said, if you want to see this, just go to the modern church.
Right? No, I didn't say that.
I want to hear it again.
I said go to Christian television.
Oh, I'm sorry. Christian television. Thank you.
All right. Second.
You said, or never mind. Is that because you don't want to
what?
Say,
you're about to make another
said,
or
oh, I was going to talk about certain issues in here. I said never mind.
Or
all right. 2 Peter
3.
Chapter 3. The last part of chapter 3 is about the real rapture, if you will. And it's discussing the same thing in 2 Thessalonians where it says we'll be rise up to meet him in the air. But there's no coming back down again. And so just to clarify this, we're going to read in starting in verse 10.
2 Peter 10.
No, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. You got there?
Yeah, got it.
Do you ever notice a similarity between Chiz and Kent Martin?
Very helpful.
All right. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for the new heaven and the new earth or new land wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in the which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now, the word rest or unstable rest is the same word, except it's emphasized. It's not just anoia, it's para-anoia. And so they're convinced that their own madness is right. They're convinced that their own folly is doctrine. Anybody ever meet anybody like that? Now, let me tell you something. You must. This is a good place to do it again. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians.
Where is that?
In the T-book.
To the right, to the left, to the right, to up or down. It's back
to the
towards
left.
Your the left. It's right after 1 Thessalonians, Ronnie.
No kidding. 2 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians, chapter 2.
Let's save this.
place we visit frequently.
We frequently visit.
Yeah, we've been there a time or two.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence or coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by the Spirit, nor by the word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So that's all I say, is the day of Christ is next. That's the zeal of that eats me up. But here it's saying, if anybody says that to you, don't pay any attention to them. So you got to come to a conclusion here. And this is, it tells you, well, listen, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the only question is, and you've got to answer it, otherwise you're a fool for being here, if you don't believe that we have revealed the man of sin, the son of perdition, then you should run from here. Now the man of sin, the son of perdition, is you. If you don't believe that, then this is not the place for you. You understand? Come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Remember, there's two words for temple. The one word for temple just means the holy place and the holy of holies. And that's the word that's used here. The other word for temple is the entire structure. Now, all these, remember, I'm serious. There's one group that has raised $8 billion to rebuild that temple in Jerusalem because of this scripture. But this scripture only says, it's a specific word. It's only you as the temple, and in you as the holy place and the holy of holies. But the man of sin, you, are sitting in the temple. The man of sin, the son of perdition, are sitting in the temple belonging to God. But you don't show, you show yourself that you're God because you sit in judgment of everything. Amen? Everybody else thinks you're a fool.
So cool.
Especially your wife.
It goes right back to the judging for yourself with good and evil.
Amen. Right back to Genesis 3. Yeah. So, the word folly is applied to these guys. Madness. Well, either we're the ones that are sober and they're mad, or vice versa. There's no common ground.
No gray.
What, Gary?
Well, just the drama of the opening of this in your own self, how stark that is.
Amen.
It's the turning point of everything. And like you say, if you don't have this as your foundation stone, a cornerstone, then everything you hear will be perverted. It'll go to self.
Right. It's again, do you understand that the belief in the Trinity is the rarest thing there is in the modern world? Because everybody believes in the quartet, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. And once you're in the picture, then it becomes not holy, it's unholy quartet, because you've polluted it. Well, this is everywhere. Daystar today, again, that Falcon woman filed a lawsuit. It was just announced in this morning's paper. I mean, and these guys, from my perspective, they're mad. They're filled with folly. from their perspective, you know, we're the most evil group on the face of the earth. Anyhow, that's enough for today.
Who's the top one?
Huh?
Who's the top?
One of the employees, Jennifer Falcon. She's the second employee to file a lawsuit. There's one more coming that we know of. The next thing we're doing is we're going to. I need to ask you all a question. The next verse 12 and on for the next few verses, he chooses his 12 disciples. Now the question is, do you want me to go through like we did before and name the different Andrews and the different Bartholomews, or should we go directly to the, and just we'll get to that later, and then go directly to the Sermon on the Mount?
For me, it would be interesting to know how he chose his disciples. I get them all confused. I have a tendency to confuse John the Baptist with St. John the Disciple.
All right. Anybody else?
We did some of that.
Not the disciples, no.
We did the John.
But we can only do it on Mondays.
We can do it less than a week.
So every Monday is committed to disciples.
And we can be doing
the Sermon on the Mount, but how about those names?
I like that one.
Yeah. Ronnie?
Just on Mondays.
All righty. I said it again. I said all righty.
You said all right.
It's called what's the problem with that?
I don't like that word that I say all the time.
Say it?
I don't know.
You're going to say okie dokie soon enough.
Okie dokie, all righty.
Take it, big guy. Quickly.
Say all righty.
Okay.
And we're cleaning the cooker.
Clean.